Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You'll be glad you did, because we got our good friend Grace Marie Turner has decided to come and hang out with us for a few minutes. Grace Marie is, as you know, is president of the Galen Institute. She's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and the person that we turn to, not only me, but really the person who the world turns to when they want to know what's really going on in with regard to healthcare public policy. And many of you have seen her columns, especially some recently in the Wall Street Journal and other publications on healthcare public policy, and she's our good friend, Grace Marie Turner. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Always a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you back. Grace Marie, and my audience is going to, they're rolling their eyes because they know what I'm about to say. I started saying in the beginning of the year that in 2008 we were going to live the Chinese curse of, which is, may you live in interesting times. and every day that comes to pass,
yes.
my prediction is becoming more and more true. And as I said, my audience is, I'm sure they're tired of hearing that, but I can't help but think about that. Every week that goes by in this primary season, and with all the issues going on with the economy, and it almost seems, Grace Marie, as if the United States is saying, we don't know who we are. We know who we used to be. We know we're headed towards something exciting, but we don't know who we are right now, and we're trying to decide what we want to become. What do you think about that?
You know, I was at the Conservative Political Action Committee convention over the weekend. I was speaking to them about health care issues, and by the way, we had an absolutely packed audience. This was the conference where McCain gave his speech, where Romney pulled out of the race.
Oh yeah, the CPAC.
Two
of the best speeches, political speeches I've ever heard. Both of those guys.
Absolutely, but I'll tell you, there were 6,700 people registered for this conference. It was absolutely enormous. You've never seen such spirit. So conservative ideas and people backing conservative policies is alive and well. I mean, these people let John McCain know by in no uncertain terms they didn't like some of his policies.
Right.
And when Newt Gingrich came on, they just cheered him. I mean, they were practically carrying him off on their shoulders because he was talking about the ideas that they believe in. So it was encouraging to me to see that the strain of conservative thought is still alive and well. It is not at all clear to me why there isn't a candidate that they feel really represents that conservative ideology.
Well, see, that's the problem, Grace Marie, is the people who show up for that program is not in the majority in the United States. And the people who are on the other polar opposite of them are not the majority either. We have a trilateral populace here, don't we? We have people on the right, we have people on the left, and we have all the people in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the middle are the ones who are going to be deciding where this country goes, aren't they?
I think that's right, and I think we see it at primary after primary, where the undecided are decisive.
Yeah.
And really having the call over where the election is going. And I think really, though, Jim, on both sides of the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats, there have been big battles over this nomination, and it still continues, mm-hmm. of course, with Senator Clinton and Senator Obama. And I live in Virginia, and today we have the primary, which may very well be decisive also in that case. Well, probably not decisive. I don't think that either candidate, apparently without the superdelegates, is going to be able to get enough delegates for the nomination,
mm-hmm.
until you know, either the superdelegates sway it one way or the other, or they have a knockdown drag out in August in Denver.
Yeah. Well, how is Virginia and Maryland looking right now?
Well, if Virginia, Maryland, and the district all vote today,
yeah,
and the district is unquestionably going to go for Obama, in Maryland, I think that it very likely will go for Obama because he is...
They've been trending Democrat, haven't they, the state?
They
voted a Democrat
state.
Governor. They voted voted out a successful Republican lieutenant governor. They voted in a Democrat, even though the governor they had was a Republican, extremely successful
job
for the state. Yeah.
That's right. And the governor here has endorsed Senator Clinton, but the whole congressional delegation has endorsed
right.
Obama.
Hold on to that thought, Grace Marie Turner. We're going to be right back, folks. We're going to move out of this into some health care issues. That's what she sees, the health care programs of the candidates, so you can make a better decision this year. Tony Taylor, stay with us. We'll be right back. I want to be with you everywhere.
Outside the pull of gravity, beyond the spectral veil.
The late, great Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Not late, great yet. Still kicking, still around. I'm not dead yet, as Monty Python said. And we're glad to be visiting with our good friend Grace Marie Turner, the president of the Galen Institute. Nobody on the planet has a better handle on healthcare public policy in the United States, actually globally even, than Grace Marie does. And Grace Marie, give us your website, please.
People can visit us at Galen, GALEN.org. We're just updating our website, so we don't have all of our information on there yet, but they'll find a lot of good examples of the kinds of things that we're doing and the kinds of things we write.
Tell us about that. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I was telling the folks at my CPAC speech that I had an opportunity to speak at the Vatican last fall, and that was really quite wonderful to talk about conservative principles, the principles of individual responsibility. And actually, it went over surprisingly well because, you know, I'm talking in Italy, obviously, where...
Right.
Where there is an actual conviction that the state ought to control the healthcare
right.
system. But when you really get down to fundamental principles of people needing to make their own decisions about their future, families being able to have control over their decisions, the Catholic principle of subsidiarity, where you move control down to the lowest level possible. That's one of the reasons small business is so powerful in this
That's
country,
right.
because we've moved power and control down to the level where people really have an impact, where they care about what's happening.
Well, the thing is you can't have true liberty. The more the government makes decisions for you, the more your true liberty has been subordinated to someone else. You give it to someone else. And healthcare is the same way. I mean, what's more personal for anybody than to take care of their own health decisions and to be responsible for their own health decisions? And you know, Grace Marie, if you think about the evolution of healthcare in America, it really sprung out of, you know, the post-war era. And corporations, American corporations, you know, the rise of the American corporation and the proliferation of American corporations, and the way our population rolled out of the Depression, rolled out of World War II, into the last half of the 20th century, it made a lot of sense in those days for corporations to be responsible for our health care. But we're in a different century now. We've got different things going on, and those ways are passé now, aren't they?
Boy,
those old constructs,
right.
those old
absolutely.
Constructs, they don't. I'm not saying they don't work anymore. They're just not for everybody anymore.
The United States is really unique in tying health insurance to the workplace. And you're right. It is a quirk that goes back to wage and price controls created in World War II. And people can learn
yep.
about that on our website. But, in fact, one of the organizing themes of the Republican presidential candidate's health care proposals during the primaries was moving away from employment-based systems so that people have more control to have portable health insurance, allowing the tax break to follow people directly as a person. person rather than as an employee, so they can take that job with them, that health insurance with them from job to job. If they lose their job, they don't lose their health insurance. If they want to go create a new business, they can still continue to have health insurance without worrying, having that tie them to a job, and allow people to purchase health insurance in a much more open and competitive market by allowing, for example, people to purchase health insurance from other states. So those are some of the organizing principles that the Republican candidates are talking about, and it is. It's 21st century policy.
Now, one of the things that's interesting to me, Grace Marie, is the young voter in America, the youthful folks, the ones that are in their, you know, their 20s or so, let's say, maybe even 18, 19, but certainly the very young people, they seem to be drawn to Obama, and I can see how they would be. But what I say, what I'd like to say to them is, make sure that when you consider all the candidates, that you look at how they're thinking of healthcare in the future. And you know, Grace Marie, as you would know very well, a person in their 20s may have a half a dozen jobs before they're 35.
Absolutely,
and that's why
we have to have health insurance to fit with this mobile economy, where 4 in 10, Labor Department says 4 in 10 workers change jobs every year in this country.
But Grace Marie, here's the thing. On the one hand, it makes sense that a younger voter would want to have that kind of portability. But on the other hand, are they being seduced by the promise of free health care from the government?
Well, I think young people are pretty savvy, and they know that this is not something that's free. We see every day that the average cost of a family job-based health insurance policy is now $12,000 a year,
yeah,
for crying out loud. They know,
yeah,
that money that has to come from somewhere, and they also know that they are on the hook for trillions, tens of trillions of dollars in unfunded future entitlement costs, especially for Medicare. And to some extent, Social Security and even Medicaid. So they know that they've got to be able to take care of themselves. And
mm-hmm.
more affordable, portable health insurance is an important start for them.
Well, and if you want to know how health care prices have inflated, Grace Marie, I had a test recently, just a regular type of a test, no symptoms, just a test that you get when you're my age. And the price for that was about $3,900.
Oh, my goodness.
But I paid cash because I'm self-insured. I have an HSA, a health savings account. And I paid cash. Guess what? When I talked to the hospital, I said, look, I'm going to write you a check myself. Guess how much the bill was?
How much?
About $1,300. Over $2,000 inflation.
Oh, my goodness.
The difference between their price list for insurance companies and what we paid. Stand by. Quick break. Stay with us.
See the dog and butterfly. The faster we run, the further away the dreams of green trees become.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Grace Marie Turner. She is president of the Galen Institute and our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And Grace Marie, we got to have you back next month to bring us up to date on some new stuff. But because one of the reasons why we need to get you back next month is your 10th anniversary as a member of the Brain Trust.
Oh, how wonderful. And congratulations, Jim, on this incredible, wonderful success of your program, and really focusing on what I think is the engine of growth in America, small businesses, and really creating this program to help small business owners, and not only to celebrate them as well we should, but also to really help them understand what's happening in the world and what's happening to change the world that they need to be on top of.
I appreciate that, Grace Marie. America's small businesses, in my opinion, is not an overstatement to say that America's small businesses are the most important entities in the marketplace on planet Earth.
You know,
and I believe that.
Absolutely. I spoke last week also to the National Association of Health Underwriters, about 700 people here who are mostly insurance agents and brokers around the country, also
mm-hmm.
almost all of them small business people.
Yep.
And the spirit for them to want to continue to keep our health sector private and to keep health insurance flexible so that individuals and small businesses can continue to have an option for affordable health insurance. I got two standing ovations when I was talking about our ideas. It was fabulous.
Well,
but
I'm not surprised about that.
Small business people, you know,
well,
they're
that,
on
that's
the front lines.
Yep, that's right. Well, you know, folks, one of the things I wanted to say to you, and Grace Marie, you reported on this in the Wall Street Journal recently. Folks, here's the thing. It's not for me to say how you should feel, obviously, how you should vote, what you should think about health care. But here it is important, I think, to understand, though, that the Democrats, and these are just facts, folks, the Democrats have, both of the Democrat nominees have stated that their plan for health care is going to have the government very, very much involved. Now, I don't know whether it's going to be called universal health care. Grace Marie, you can correct me to whatever degree I'm wrong here, but basically the government's going to be very, very much involved to some degree or another. The Republicans, both of the remaining candidates on the Republican side of the Huckabee and McCain, I don't consider Paul to be viable at all. Both of them have a health plan that is more going to be less government involved, more marketplace solutions. So it's real simple, I think. I think one thing about that, Grace Marie, is that it's going to be really simple for people to make up their mind which one they like, because there's nothing vague about either one of them, is there?
That's exactly right. When we get especially to the general election, I think the choice is going to be absolutely clear. And as you say, and as I said in the Wall Street Journal piece, ultimately the choices are going to break down over whether individuals or government will be in control
right.
of health care in the future. That's really the nub of it.
Now, the irony is, to me, is that the programs that the Democrats are wanting to put in place are very much like the European models. But the Europeans would like to get rid of their models and use our and focus and move more towards our models.
You
think they'd run into each other somewhere over the Atlantic and figure it out, well, don't you?
To some extent. However, I'll tell you, the well is really being poisoned. I do a lot of speaking in Europe, and they really feel they've listened to all of the American politicians tearing down our health sector. And they all say, oh, we don't want to learn. There's nothing we can learn about America. They're barbarians. Mm-hmm. They leave 47 million people bleeding in the streets. Well, of course,
yeah.
You and I know that's not true.
That's not what
all
happens.
All Americans know it's not true.
If you want health care in America, you can get it. If you need health care and you can't afford to pay in America, you can get it.
And that's not the case in a lot of those socialized countries. If you need health care in Canada, you wait.
Whether you can afford it or not.
Exactly right. It's illegal to have health insurance, except in Quebec province.
Yeah.
But the Supreme Court has ruled in a challenge to their socialized, centralized health care systems that the individual a right to health a right to a waiting list is not a right to health care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's rationing by waiting. And this, you know, we've got to figure out a better way to show the planet a better way. And I do think that there are ideas on the table, and we'll have a chance throughout this year, Jim, to get together
right.
to talk about more about those ideas. But it's going to be a stark contrast.
It's going to be very easy for people to decide, I think, and they'll make their minds up. Grace Marie, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Galen.org, right?
That's right.
GALEN.org. Folks, check it out. Use it to your advantage. And by the way, the book that she edited, Grace Marie edited, is still available there by PDF or by hard copy, Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform. Quick, actually, I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.